Hello. Oh, I'm so sorry. We have a technical glitch. We've lost our capability to play mellifluous sounds and the beauteous musics that we usually open our program with, and it seems to have frozen. That is our computer. So it is a stark, naked, bare beginning to the program tonight, and perhaps that's all well and good. Good evening. I'm Phil Hendry. And as you may or may not know, there is news tonight that the white race will soon be extinct, what with the children of color being born in record numbers. The white race is imperiled, and I stand against that. I'm Phil Hendry. All right, anyway.
Dude, trying to do with
it. I don't know. It was going to work out better if I'd... Are you done? I'm done. It was going to work out better had the music worked. What the hell happened, bud?
I don't know. I pushed the button, and another thing I did is I went, see this thing right here?
Just give it to me in the short version.
I went over here, 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 and over here, here, here.
Yeah.
And then I pushed this.
Yeah? All of that just to get a song going?
Yeah.
Are you supposed to do all that?
No, he's not supposed to do all that. You push one button and you get the music. You messed up the whole intro. The intro, which Matt and I had worked out, was going to be me as Bo Greitz wearing a beret here on Phil TV, and I was going to begin extolling the virtues of not racism. No. Just standing up for the purity of the white race as it slowly goes extinct.
Well, you're saying that, Phil, almost as if it's giving you sadness. I'm having a problem with this segment.
Giving me sadness?
Yeah, are you sad? Yeah, well, Mr. Adams, you know, they said the white people are going to be gone, you know.
I know, yeah, and I am sad. My people are...
Phil.
Oh, take it easy, will you? No, I'm not serious, but it would have been great, man, had I a computer that worked, or the music system that we have had not failed us. Anyway, a good evening to you. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. The big news here that I saw had to do with Madeleine McCann. You guys know this story? Madeleine McCann was a little girl that went missing, reported missing by her parents. She is a British subject. It was 6 years ago that this baby... Turn that fan off, bud, before I throw it out a window.
Sorry.
Next time I hear that fan on, I'm going to pick it up and throw it in the street because I don't know whether they can hear it on their radios or not.
Well, Phil, you're talking about the listeners. You should have a little more respect.
What are you talking about?
Well, don't go they, them, they, like they're not here.
Excuse me, folks. I didn't mean to be rude. I don't know if you can hear the fan, but I'm asking Bud to turn it off. Otherwise, I'm going to take the fan and throw it out into the street.
Yeah, so what? May not get run over because there's not a lot of cars that go down that street.
It may not get run over because there's not a lot of cars that go down that street.
That's true.
Okay. Well, then I'll have to drop it off the top of a building or something.
Made out of plastic.
Don't worry about it, man. I'll throw it in the ocean. Is that good enough for you?
That ought to do it.
Good. Portuguese police have reopened their investigation into the disappearance of British child Madeleine McCann 6 years ago. Do you remember this story? Madeleine from Leicester was aged 3 when she vanished from a holiday apartment in Praia da Luz, in May of 2007. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right or not.
It's Luz.
Yeah, it's more like a Praia Luz.
Praia Luz? What are you talking about?
Here, let me see.
Okay, if you pull that out of my hand, man.
Pull what out of your hand? That's what she said.
Oh, so now it's okay with you to say that, huh?
Just getting into the spirit of things.
Praia da Luz in May 2007 as her parents dined in a nearby tapas restaurant, which, by the way, a tapas restaurant is basically finger food. It's like appetizers. And the first time that I'd ever heard of one, and this shows you how sheltered I really am, was just a few years ago, like 10 years ago. My wife at the time, Maria, was in Spain, and I was talking to her on the phone, and she said, oh, and I went to a tapas restaurant for the first time, and it was fantastic, and I heard it as topless.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought you were saying on a topless.
It's topless?
No, tapas, T-A-P-A-S.
Tapas, as Phil said, they're like appetizers, finger foods.
It's finger food.
Yes, finger foods. But, you know, the mistake you made, Bud, is the same one I made. I thought, did you say topless? And that's what I thought she said, and I just let her keep talking. And as she was talking, I'm imagining a topless rat. What's the big deal, you know? And she's going on and on about how delicious everything was and how wonderful it was, and not mentioning anything about the topless entertainment. I'm serious. This is actually, you can ask her. And
can I call her now?
No, don't call her. When you see her, you can ask her.
Well, there's no point in saying ask her unless. Sorry, I'm.
So anyway, I said, finally, she gets done. I go, well, what about the topless entertainment? Was there any? She goes, what? I said, the top. She said, not topless, you jackball on wheels. Topless. And then she started howling with laughter, just laughing hysterically until she was sick. And then the line went dead.
Yay.
Thank you. And that's our story for tonight. Anyway, Madeline, this is a poor child that's missing. I don't know why I'm making jokes about it. And I'm not making jokes about it. I just the topest thing.
Yeah, well, you're making jokes about it.
Well, I saw you joining in the frivolity.
I wasn't joining in the frivolity, Phil, but I thought there's no way I'm going to stop you, so I might as well.
So you might as well what, just add to it?
Phil, I don't think this is funny.
I don't think it's funny either. Anyway, her parents have said they hoped a renewed investigation of their daughter's disappearance could lead to her finally being found. Kate and Jerry McCann said in a statement that they are very pleased that Portuguese authorities have decided to reopen the inquiry into the little girl's disappearance, which was shelved in 2008. The couple said, "We're very pleased that the investigation to find our missing daughter, Madeline, has been officially opened in Portugal. We hope that this will finally lead to her being found and to the discovery of whoever is responsible for this crime." We're going to get Don Berman on the line here from Channel 19 News to get some insight into the investigation there in Portugal. This is a story that Don was following himself as a reporter, was reporting on himself a number of years ago. We talked with you about it, Don. Can you tell us what has been different investigation-wise about this?
The thing that I think has changed, Phil, is that they're most likely, and I don't have any inside information yet, but in the years that I have been doing this kind of reporting, in the years that I have been around police and around precinct houses and around these kinds of investigations, there is no question that they have received either a tip or they have uncovered some new evidence. No question at all. Generally, these are reopened because they have received a credible tip. A credible tip. I was very excited, and I'm still excited, a few years ago when it was reported that a person had come forward in the D.B. Cooper case. As you know, D.B. Cooper was someone who had jumped out of an airplane after hijacking that aircraft and obtaining, by extortion means, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then he jumped from the aircraft with a parachute and has never been seen and has never contacted anyone and has been, for all intents and purposes, vanished, has just vanished. Many people think that he is dead.
That's what I think.
Well, you understand, Phil, I've been doing a lot of this kind of reporting for many, many years. I think it's easy to think that he's dead. But we've had reports of D.B. Cooper or someone like him, someone in sunglasses carrying a valise or a duffel bag of some kind that is bulky and looks like it could very well contain hundreds of thousands of dollars, putting his arm around the throat of a man washing a car on a farm in Oregon and putting a gun to the man's head and stealing the car. We've had that report. And I've been looking into that one now for 43 years. And it just when I feel it's going to break wide open, the lead goes cold.
Wait, there's a report of a guy.
That's not very substantial.
Hold on for just a minute. Before you start passing judgment on my reporting techniques, Margaret, allow me to explain. What is that, Phil?
Well, I mean, the guy. All right, we have to take a break. I just got to look at the clock. Can you hold on, Don?
Yeah, and I want to pick up with this, because I have been looking into this for some 40-plus years, so hold on to yourselves.
The D.B. Cooper thing, but I want to talk about Madeline McCann.
Oh, absolutely. We'll talk about that, but I think I can shed light on that.
All right, Don Berman at Channel 19 here with some insight not only, apparently, into the Madeleine McCann story, but also the D.B. Cooper story, which has been, for the longest time, a fascinating story to all of us. A guy who hijacked an aircraft, got hundreds of thousands of dollars in ransom money, and jumped out of the airplane and hasn't been seen since. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, we are online at philhenryshow.com. Every show is a video cast. You can see me tonight. I'm in my... This is beret night.
What is with the beret? You almost look... It's a military look.
Yeah, it is a little military style. I look a little bit like, like I'm a badass. Anyway.
I doubt that.
Fine. So welcome back. We're talking with Don Berman from Channel 19 News, the Madeleine McCann case. You may remember this case. A number of years ago, this baby goes missing in Portugal. Her family is on vacation. It wasn't Portugal. It was the one of the island resorts there, I think. Nonetheless, this child, it was on Praia da Luz, which is, I guess, a resort island of some kind, Margaret?
I'm not familiar with Portugal as a resort destination. I don't really like to go anywhere that's too exotic like that. Now, I've been looking at brochures.
Can we hold on for a minute? Because I got to,
They're talking about a crime case and everything.
Listen, you don't tell me anything, bud. I take it from Mr. Henry under protest. You don't direct me at all. Is that understood?
Yeah.
You too, Robert.
I don't try to tell you anything.
Is that fine?
Yeah, fine. That's great. I mean, it's just... Don, are you there?
I'm right here, Phil. I'm waiting.
But wait, hold on. What do you mean, Don, are you there? I'm speaking.
I know, Margaret. We got the point, and now let's move on with the Madeleine McCann story.
Can I just say one thing, Don? You don't see this, but when Phil's talking, he's waving his arm around as if he has... There's a spastic nerve.
Yeah, well, Phil gesticulates quite a bit.
What do you do?
He gesticulates.
Right, I move my arms around. All right, thank you very much, everyone, for weighing in with your opinions.
Yes, but I feel I'm being lorded over. You're moving your arm around as if you're the baron of a plantation, and I've walked in with Massa's dinner, and I don't.
Well, I'm only calling you that, Miss Gray. You are white. You can never be that.
But the way Phil is waving the arm around and saying, and this and that, I feel almost as if you're going to call me up to your bedchamber. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Margaret, I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, if you got to be kidding.
Why am I... Look at you. You get it? Why, is it that odious a thought?
Yes, frankly, yes. You happen to be married, and,
Ow!
You don't say anything.
But Phil, can we get to this? Otherwise, I'm going to get very irritated and hang the phone up.
I don't blame you. I'll go with you. You hang up, and I'll walk out.
Fine, I'll do the show.
One of these nights, I'm going to have you do that.
Do you want to get to it, or I'm going to hang this phone up as God made green apples?
Hold on, will you? So you want to do the show, huh?
All right, that does it.
I said I'd do the show, yes.
All right, you go ahead and do the show if you want to. You go ahead and do the show.
Not tonight, but some night when I get really PO'd. I'm not PO'd enough.
Okay, Don, you there?
You hung up.
No, he didn't, because I can still hear the wherever he is. He's in a dinette or something?
Yeah, no, he's at a cafeteria across the street.
Hey, Don, pick the phone up, will you? Don.
What do you want?
Well, you knock it off, man. We got to get going here. Now, what's the story? What have you got?
What have I got? I've been sitting there for the last 5 minutes waiting for you to start asking me questions. Meantime, you've got an argument or discussion going with Ms. Gray about Bud Dickman and his role. Phil, I got better things to do, all right? I got fish to fry. We're burning daylight, all right? Now, Madeleine McCann, yes, is missing, and I'm going to get to that, but I wanted to mention to you, I'm ready to rip the lid off of the D.B. Cooper case. Now...
All right, okay, and then I want to talk about Madeleine McCann.
Fine, we'll talk about that. But now, what was your question?
You said you've got some story about a guy carrying a bag that looked like it could have money in it, and he was wearing sunglasses, and he put his arm around some guy's neck, put a gun to his head, and then stole the guy's car.
Yes.
And the guy whose car was stolen is who?
He's a farmer in Oregon. He was a beet farm or something, but it was a small farm, and the man was watering his lawn, And up comes this guy, and he happened to catch a glimpse of him as he turned around, and the guy put his arm around his head, and he said, I want the car.
And this was when?
This was not too long ago. This was probably about 7 or 8 years ago.
Wait a second.
Wait, Don, D.B. Cooper hijacked that aircraft in 1971.
I understand that.
Is he still out on the run?
Well, what do you think? This guy has been... They're looking for him everywhere. Of course. And not the least of whom is me. Now, I know it sounds very far-fetched, but the fact of the matter is, if you're D.B. Cooper, your name is everywhere, people have been looking for years, you're hot. You are what they call in the parlance, hot. All right? I'm sure you saw Tommy Lee Jones, every hen house, farmhouse, outhouse, and it was a wonderful speech from the fugitive. That is D.B. Cooper. You could have been talking about D.B. Cooper. I want a hard target search. That's what I've been doing. A hard target search for D.B. Cooper.
Bring me a hard target search. What's that about?
What's that?
What's a hard target search?
Didn't you see the fugitive? This is something that they use in the Marshal Service when they say there's a hard target.
But what is that?
Well, who am I looking for?
D.B. Cooper.
All right.
So D.B. Cooper's the hard target.
Yes. D.B. Cooper is a hard target.
But what is that? Is he hard or...
Is he hard? You know, I don't like where this discussion's going.
Well, neither do I, and I didn't like it when you just said that. Other than that, I was fine with it until you said that.
Said what?
About how you don't like where the discussion's going.
Well, I don't.
Well, you're the one who's calling him a hard target. Never mind. Never mind.
You don't know what a hard target is.
We wouldn't be asking you these questions, Don, if we knew. All right, so you're looking for D.B. Cooper, a hard target search.
You know, I'm really sorry I'm boring you, Phil. You're looking for D.B. Cooper, a hard target. I'm so sorry that I'm boring you. This is one of the biggest stories in the history of American crime fighting and police investigative and fugitive work, and you are acting as if it's... You'd rather move on to something else, you know, like rearranging the sock drawer. And if D.B. Cooper is found, and if he's found by Don Berman, if D.B. Cooper is found, it's a big story. If Don Berman finds D.B. Cooper, my friend, that is the day you will never hear from me again, because I am going to leave this city and I will go to my new paradise home, whichever it is that I buy, depending upon the money that I make from the articles and the books that I'm going to write, and you won't see hide nor hair of me again.
Well, that's not necessarily bad, given a lot of stuff you've done.
Yeah, and you know something, Dickman? I won't miss you either, so don't worry about it.
All right, well, so far, Don, I think you're a little ways away from finding D.B. Cooper, because you've only told me that 7 years ago, a guy hijacked some dude's car while he was watering his lawn. He was wearing sunglasses, and...
This is what you sound like. A guy hijacked a car. Don't you understand?
Don, you're not giving us a lot of information. You're saying that D.B. Cooper, you're hot on his trail. That was 8 years ago.
Do you mind swallowing whatever it is in your throat, please?
I beg your pardon.
I'm sorry, but I heard you go... I heard the bubbling of something in the back of your throat. And it put me off. I'm sorry.
Okay, Don, I'll you know, get back to you, okay?
Get back to me about what?
This is not going any place, man.
I'm just saying, Phil, I don't mind. Jeez.
What are you talking about? Something bubbling in your throat?
I said I heard Margaret talking.
That is the rudest thing I think anyone has ever said to me.
Oh, for God's sake. I could hear you talking and it went like that. Okay?
No, I don't don't know what you're talking about.
Nor I.
You know what? You all sound like a little tea party with Alice in Wonderland and a bunch of guys with scented handkerchiefs. I can't take it any longer. Good night.
All right. Thank you, Don. And,
you know, at some point, Phil, you have to look at yourself, because a lot of these people...
No, hold on, Mark. I didn't ask your opinion.
No, a lot of these people hang up on you. I'm not saying that you're causing it, but obviously it's a dynamic.
That looks like Paula Deen getting kidnapped.
You're watching. Will you turn that off? He's looking at Investigation Discovery, and the woman that's getting kidnapped on this dramatization looks exactly like Paula Deen in a blue nightshirt or something.
What does she look? Oh, you know she does.
All right. So in any event, we're going to get back to the Madeline McCann. Forget about D.B. Cooper and whether or not he stole a guy's car 7 years ago and Berman's hot on the trail. Berman's hot on the trail. Yeah. You know, Don, you're not hot on the trail if it was 7 years ago that you caught wind of this guy. And by the way, you know, D.B. Cooper is either dead or he is comfortably ensconced somewhere in South America, or I don't know where the hell the guy is, man, but I got news for you. This cat cannot possibly be anywhere in the United States. I think he's dead, you know.
He's deader than he's dead.
Yeah, he's dead. He's all messed up.
Exactly. World famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back here with more on the Madeline McCann story in just a moment. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So I just want to, if I can, I mean, this would be nice to just be able to read this article here that I have about the disappearance. To me, it's fascinating, and I think it's always interesting when a cold case, if this was ever really a cold case, a cold case gets reinvigorated or reignited or reopened or, you know, whatever they do with it. Now, here's a kid that went missing. The parents are happy that the Portuguese police have reopened the investigation. The British have also been doing their own due diligence on this. Scotland Yard.
What do you call it Scotland Yard for?
I ain't ready to talk to you about that, okay, bud?
Why don't you just let it sit, bud?
You know, maybe it's because that Scotland Yard is where it is, man.
Well, what's that mean?
What do you mean, what's that mean? It's Scotland Yard. It's this, you know, it's where it is, you know.
It's in Scotland?
No, it ain't in Scotland. It's in London. Scotland Yard's in London. Scotland Yard was the yard, you know.
It was a yard that they worked in until they built the building. That's possible.
Okay, it was a yard they worked in. What do you mean a yard they worked in?
Well, I don't know.
They call it Scotland Yard. They call it FBI to FBI.
Well, isn't that nice? They don't call it the FBI over there. They call it Scotland Yard. That's what they call it.
What about MI5?
What about MI5? Look, guys, give me a break, will you?
The British have all kinds of overlapping security systems. They're amazing. They really are.
Yeah, that's why they've got, like, Russian spies that infiltrate them, and they're always getting, yeah, they're fantastic.
That is slanderous, Phil. The British are our allies.
They are our allies, and they're great people, but their security is kind of weird, man. I mean, they've had more commies in their MI6, and then not only that, they have... Forget it.
Well, you know what? You're going to have to explain that one.
I don't have to explain anything. I'm trying to read this. I'm gonna get up and walk out, and you can do this show if you want.
No, thank you.
All right. Please be patient and respect the work of the police as they endeavor to find the answers we so desperately need, so said the family. British police said that the Portuguese investigation was being restarted as a result of new lines of inquiry emerging from an internal review, which generally means that they got the file out and they took another look at it. They might have gotten some tips. Here's a part of the story. It's going to be running alongside of Scotland Yard's ongoing investigation into Madeline's disappearance. What, bud?
That's in England.
Yes, it is in England. Which, it's not in Scotland, which has uncovered new leads that were detailed by officers last week. Portuguese police had originally shelved their investigation in 2008, the year that Madeline vanished, but supported the British-run inquiry. Detective Chief Inspector Andy Redwood, who's leading the Scotland Yard team, Assistant Commissioner Mark Rowley, and Mr. and Mrs. McCann met officers in Lisbon last week to be briefed on the Portuguese case. The new Portuguese lines of inquiry are separate from those being chased by the Met. What's that?
That's the Metropolitan Police.
The Metropolitan Police? That's the London Police?
Yes.
Is that the same as Scotland Yard?
Uh-uh. Scotland Yard is...
I think Scotland Yard's like the London Police. That ain't the FBI. I mean, their FBI. Their FBI is...
Their FBI is like MI like 12 or something.
MI-12. No, MI-5. Look, let me... So, anyway, Mr. Rowley, who's with Scotland Yard, otherwise known as the Metropolitan Police, The meeting was very positive, and we and the Polizia Judiciaria have a shared determination to do everything possible to discover what happened. Colleagues in Portugal fully shared with us the development in their review and the fact that they were taking the significant step of applying for the investigation to be formally reopened. This new momentum is encouraging. We still have a way to go, and with all major investigations, not all lines of inquiry that look promising will yield results. So they found something either that they overlooked, or they re-interviewed some witnesses, or they got a tip. Something has sparked reopening the investigation, some new piece of information that gives them something to go on. Yesterday, Metropolitan Police Commissioner Sir Bernard Hogan Howe defended the way Portuguese police handled the initial investigation into Madeline's disappearance.
Well, I think they bungled it. That's my opinion. A first-class, first-world police force would never butcher something this badly. But they're the Portuguese, so what are you going
to
do?
Oh, really, Margaret? Can I just mention something to you?
Yes.
There were three girls missing for 10 years.
Oh!
Well...
Three girls missing for 10 years right here in the United States, right under the noses of the Cleveland police. God knows who else, probably the FBI.
Man, he got you on that one.
No, he didn't get me on anything. That's different.
Oh, really? Why is that different?
Because they were being... It just is.
Well, no, that's not an answer. It just is.
Well, I'm telling you...
You know, this kind of stuff happens to first-rate, first-world, developed nation cop forces, too, okay? Three girls, not a little baby. A little kid you can hide. A little kid, it would be much easier to hide a little kid because, first of all, a little child like that cannot escape. How is she going to even find the wherewithal to escape? Secondly, because she's completely dependent, far more dependent than an adult woman would be. Secondly, just her smaller size makes her easier to hide if you want to get right down to it. Now you got three adult women, full grown, presumably with their wits about them and not wanting to be where they are, and they're right within earshot of hundreds of people on a city street in a city neighborhood in a major American city. And they're missing for 10 years, and you're telling me that the Portuguese police are dunderheads, or they're knocking the cops down there in Aruba?
Well, you can't tell me that the Arubians.
I can tell you anything I want, man. We got people missing in this kind. I'm telling you, cops are doing far better. There's no question the cops are doing far better. I think.
They're all like DNA.
Well, DNA, yeah, DNA is fine, you know, and DNA is in solving cases and murders like that, but. Cops are doing better, I think, in every area because of forensic science. No question about it. But there are still those cases that, are just absolutely the saddest things because you can't solve them. You don't know what happened.
Were you watching that case the other night on television with me, that one called Disappeared? Disappeared?
Yeah.
All right. They had a woman hanging upside down in her car for I don't know what, and they couldn't find her for love or money. Now, I'm telling you, that was like the Portuguese police. You talk about a bunch of stumble bums.
Well, they were American cops, though, weren't they?
Well, they were from, I think, Bud, what was it?
Yeah, they're from, like, Spokane?
Spokane, that was it. And these guys couldn't find it with both hands.
Wait a minute. I know the case you're talking about. That lady was driving, and she went off the road.
Yes, and she was gone for a week. Almost a week. And the husband is frantic, and they're looking into alien abduction, and they're looking into kidnapping, and they think, my God, they thought of everything. Excuse me for a moment. I'm sorry, Phil, but when I get nervous...
Well, you know what? I had to expect that every show now. Margaret will be belching. We ought to have the Margaret Belch segment.
That'd be bitching. This belch is brought to you by...
Shut up. So what's your point?
My point is very simply, number one, would you not point out when I belch? Let it happen, and we continue.
Sure, I'll do that, Margaret.
You know, if you didn't draw... In any event... That was discouraging, and they handled that like a bunch of stumble bums that couldn't find their rear ends with their hands and buds. All right? That's how bad it was.
Well, here's the thing. You call them stumble bums. The lady went off the road, And she, her car went down an embankment, folks, just so you know what the story is. This woman she's a housewife. And she's up there, I think, in Washington State, and she's driving, and her husband's at work, and it's a rainy day, something. And she goes off the road for whatever reason. I can't remember what it was, but it was a very slick and very dangerous road. And the SUV she's in tumbles down the side of this hill, not too far, but just far enough to be blocked from anyone trying to look for her from the roadway, just a cursory driving down the road and looking, which is exactly what her husband did.
Yes, he drove that route I don't know how many times.
All right, you want to call him a stumble bum too?
He's not a cop.
Yeah, that's the thing. The cops have ways of looking into stuff and everything.
How are you going to look and see what's down a hill?
Get out and look.
Oh, baby. Good one, Robert.
All right, so you get out and look. Yes, you're right. I mean, if you're a cop, that's what you do. But here's the thing. The lady's missing. Now, her car is upside down. She's hanging by her seatbelt. She's barely conscious. Now she's going on not just hours. She's going on a day, 2 days, no food, no water. No one knows where she is. Her husband goes on. He's driving the people nuts at the police department. He's driving people nuts at 911. I think this thing gets media attention. He's like, what the hell happened to my wife? What is it with you guys? I called 911. Well, when is he? Sir? And then this is the thing that really pissed him off, and I don't blame the guy. His wife is missing. The law says, well, she's an adult. She can go wherever the hell she wants. You're filing a missing person report, and we certainly understand that, sir. But, you know, she's an adult, and we can't look into this until... And he's like, you got to be putting me on. I don't think most people understand that. They think that the minute you call for a missing person... you know, they're going to hop to it. No, they don't necessarily. So this cat is flipped out. He's pissed off. He's just, you know. And meanwhile, everyone's looking. They're triangulating the cell phone signal, and I think that's what eventually did it. I think they said, well, the last time we, got a signal from her cell phone was around this area here. So they went back and started looking some more. And this time, they did a much more careful job. Somebody, I guess, gets out of the cruiser or gets out of a car, looks down a hill, bang, there is the SUV, upside down. They go down the hill.
Was she dead?
No, she was not dead. She was barely alive. She was dehydrated. The poor woman had fractures, busted shoulder, all kinds of injuries, but she survived. She lived. And
they sued the police.
And they sued the police.
Yay!
Thank you. All right, we'll be back. See, they're all's well that ends well, I guess. I don't know. Pretty weird, though. Pretty weird. So it just goes to show you, I mean, you can lose people. It's an easy thing to do. It's not something that you... Obviously, there's no cop out there that wants that stuff to be happening on his watch, but it's weird. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We'll be back here, 855-500-7445. Hey, we found that lady that was missing. Oh, yeah, where was she? In your backyard. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the Phil Hendry Show at 855-500-7445 and online at philhendryshow.com, all over the world, all across your radio dial, all over your computer, like you spilled coffee on it, only we're good for it. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Don't forget about the...
Oh, and I want to remind you that our online store is open 24/7 for all of your gift-buying needs. And, with Christmas coming up, you've got a Phil Hendry fan in the house or somewhere within... there's a Phil Hendry fan somewhere within a mile radius of every human being in America, if not North America. Within a mile radius, you'll find at least one. So come to our online store, and it may be some guy sleeping in a gully. It could be an individual just wandering down a road who's forgotten who he is. It could be a cop sitting there having lunch or filling out a ticket. It could be anybody. But you have a Phil Hendry fan within a one-mile radius of you, so go to our online store, philhendryshow.com, buy them something, walk up to them, drop it in their lap, and then just say, have a nice day, and split.
Well, that works.
I think it works. So head over to philhendryshow.com and pick up. And by the way, we are going to be starting a gift subscription thing, you know. So for the holidays, you can give a gift subscription to our website as well. Don Mixa will be with us here from the University of Washington. He is an engineering professor, but Don often weighs in on matters involving security don't know why I'm laughing. We've got so many people that wear so many hats around here. Don, good evening.
Good evening, Phil. How are you?
Good. We have so many people wearing so many hats. As an engineering professor, did you ever think you'd be commenting on police matters?
Well, the fact that I was at one time, I was a reserve officer here in Avondale, and I did some security work, some private security. I had a private investigative license for about 6 years. I don't think it's too far-fetched, but I'll see what I can do for you.
Don, tell me about this case, the Madeleine McCann case, or maybe just missing people in general. Maybe this case is too fresh and certainly not enough information. I know that there are... is that a fair assumption that there has been some new evidence in that case?
I think it's hard to tell, Phil. I think it matters a little bit if you look and see what the police have been doing in Portugal. And I think the British have been very generous in their praise of the Portuguese police. I don't think there's a problem there. I think the Portuguese police are good cops. I'm not saying that they're bad cops. And I think that they probably have their fair share of super cops. I mean, every police force does. And they have their pride, too. I think it's unfair to castigate any professional police agency, no matter who they are. And I think the British were very right in backing them up. That having been said, you have a little girl is missing, and you got them standing there, and there's a big empty void someplace in Portugal, and it should contain a little tiny kid. And that's not in Britain, that's not in the United States, it's happening right now in Portugal. So the cops are standing there, and they feel a little chagrined. I would have to say...
Yeah, but is there new information?
Yeah, the question, Don, is there new evidence?
Well, I think you have to look and say to yourself, why would they make a big deal out of reopening the case? It could very well be that they're just flat embarrassed by the fact that they've got a missing child, and they've had a missing child for 6 years, and that the parents are putting a lot of heat on. You know, when I was working as a private investigator, there was nothing more effective, quite frankly, Phil, than having a mother calling you every day and showing up at the office every day and peppering you with emails every day and threatening to go to the police and trying to make you look as bad as she possibly could. And I finally had to just, all right, what do you want? She said, my daughter's been missing. And I said, okay. She said, but you took the case 6 months ago. And I said, yes, I did.
This is a real case, Don, that you took?
Yeah, this is a case of a missing teenage girl that I took on.
When was this?
It was about 2 years ago.
Okay.
So, you know, I took on the case. The mother's calling me up. She's you know, what are you doing? You know, and she's saying, I'm going to go to the media. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I said, well, look, you know, I don't know what you expect. Are you expecting miracles? And she said, well, you've been on this now for about 6-8 months. And I said, yes, I have. And she said, are my checks cashing? I said, as far as I know. And
well, what? So you were looking for a missing girl?
I was looking for a missing girl, yes. But the mother was on me like the old saying, Phil, like white on rice. She just wouldn't let up, and it caused me to take less of an interest in the case until finally I was completely disinterested in it.
But you're taking her money.
Well, I mean, she's sending me the checks.
Well, how did you find? Did you ever find this girl?
Well, I didn't find her, but she was found, and the woman says to me, well, I'm going to, you know, hold back your last payment. I said, wait a minute, is your daughter found? She said, yeah, but you didn't do it. I said, it doesn't make any difference. She's back at home, and she got there, and, you know, you owe me money. And see, this is the problem. When you are in the...
Wait, I got to ask you something, Don. You didn't find her. Who found her?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was probably a police agency, or maybe it was another private investigator. I have no interest. I could care less. All I know is that she was found.
All right, then why did you feel that you were entitled to the last installment of this, the money the mother was paying?
I was entitled to the last installment of money the mother was paying because of the fact that I put up with her for the 6, 8, 9 months that I was on the investigative, that I was investigating. That's when she's just going on and on and on and on. She wouldn't shut up. She didn't shut up. I think I got phone calls from her every single hour of the day throughout this 9-month investigation. She called me in every hour of the day, and I said, for what I put up with and what I had to endure, I don't care if your daughter wandered home on her own. I don't care if it was something out of Twin Peaks where she was staggering down a railroad bridge with just wearing a sheet and catatonic. I said, is she home? And she said, yes, she is. And she said, as a matter of fact, she is catatonic. And she was wearing a sheet. And I said, but she's home. She said, yes. I said, you owe me money. You know, I don't know if you ever saw the film Alien.
Well, hold on for a minute. That is to me...
Don, that is mercenary of you.
Yeah, to me, that sounds like you shouldn't have taken that money.
Did you ever see the movie Alien, Phil?
Yes, I've seen Alien about 9 times.
Me too.
What about it?
Well, in the film, the two engineers are worried about the money, and finally the robot, who turns out to be the bad guy, it took the bad guy robot to wake these two grease monkeys up to a reality, which is, if we don't go down to that planet and investigate that signal, you won't get your money. See? So I said to her, I said, your daughter's home. She's wrapped in a sheet. She's catatonic. They found her staggering down an alley. But she's alive, and you owe me money. I had to say it like that, and it finally was one thing, this kind of thing.
What's that?
I said that finally. It went then.
Okay, you all right?
I'm fine.
Don, this is Margaret. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay, thanks a lot, Don.
Probably.
That guy is so relaxed.
Yeah, he gets too relaxed to the point where his jaw muscles don't work.
Yeah, he relaxes so much that it's almost like Lou Gehrig's disease at the end of an interview. He's just like, he's just paralyzed. Anyway, so nice going, Don. Boy, that's a talk about one for that's a feather in your cap. Girl missing for 8 months, and she finally did make it home, only you had absolutely nothing to do with finding her, nothing to do with anything. You just happened to be, hired to do the job, and, oh yeah, by the way, you owe me money. God, some guys. Woo! We'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, more Eric Snowden news. The guy that, Eric Snowden and Lee Harvey Oswald. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Lee Harvey Oswald? What?
You know what I mean.